remember when I was a little kid and we would celebrate President's Day. My family, we would always just get together and reflect on the greatness of Richard Milhouse Nixon and Jimmy, whatever his middle name was, Carter. And I would just be incredibly thankful. Oh, and in between, you had Gerald Ford, who, of course, the automobile was named after. So I would just be very thankful for the presidents that we've had. And so I thought I would take today and just enjoy the afternoon reflecting on President's Day. So what we have done is we've taken some of our favorite segments from the last couple of weeks. We call it a best of. We present that for you here. And then before you know it, we will be back here with a live show here on the Dory Monson Show. So thanks for hanging out with us on this President's Day Monday afternoon.
The Big Lead, top story.
Ladies and gentlemen, the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That is the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. Didn't even get to get into the real tune there. Why am I reading you the First Amendment? Because right there in the very first of all the amendments was the freedom of the press. And that was in there because it's our job to be a watchdog of government. And as you know, that's been my positioning since I went on the air, to be a watchdog of government. And if government officials, government employees, if they are saying things that I think need to be counterbalanced, then that's my job. And I'm talking about this because there are a lot of converging pathways that are coming together in what I think is one of the most significant stories in our region, and that is getting kids back in school for months and months and months. I've been hearing from parents all around our region about the hardship. Their kids aren't learning. Kids are committing suicide and overdosing at record rates. They don't have school. They've lost so much socialization. They can't play sports. We're turning our kids into little zombies. And I find that to be incredibly sad. Child psychologists report that they are booked solid for months and months and months because the level of anxiety for our children is so great. Kids are taking anti-anxiety meds, anti-depression meds. It's not working. And then you have the educational part of things, where by every measurable standard, online learning is a dismal failure for most kids. There are some exceptions, but it's a dismal failure. So much so that school district after school district throughout our state has said, if your kid's got an F, we'll change it to a C, or we'll change it to merely a passing grade that won't count in their GPA, because they know online learning is failing so dismally, and kids aren't learning, and they don't want there to be any empirical evidence of, you know, a number of kids who are failing or a percentage that are failing. So they're just taking failing kids, and they are passing them. Again, we're not serving our kids educationally. And then let's talk about the parents that I've been hearing from for months and months and months. We've already put so much economic hardship on families, businesses closed, whether they're the owner of the business or an employee of the business. So many people are unemployed who, geez, 1 year ago at this time, January of 2020, we had record low unemployment in America. But the pandemic has led so many parents to be unemployed. And then you've got all these parents who now have to watch over their kids as they're sitting at a computer trying to learn. And the parents, maybe they're working from home, but they're trying to make sure their kids are getting educated. And the parents are suffering tremendously. Kids need to be back in school, especially when there is no medical reason for them not to be. There's no public health reason for them not to be. And I bring all this up because yesterday, the Bellevue schools, I played a couple of sound bites from teachers and from the union president. They say they refuse to go back in the classroom until they get vaccinated. And here's one teacher. Her name is Cheryl. And she said, this will happen. She told Cairo 7, this will happen if she goes back in the classroom.
Anytime I go into the building, I'm putting my family at risk. So my husband, my kids.
Okay. And that simply is not true. I know that's what the union has been telling the teachers. And I know that because Allison Snow is the president of the Bellevue Teachers Union.
People feel like they're being asked to sacrifice their life just to have bodies in buildings.
The teachers are being asked to sacrifice their lives. Now, I'm happy to report we are scheduled to have an interview with the union president, Bellevue union president. We're hoping, we're having a little technical problem on her end with her phone, but we're hoping to have her on at 12:30 this afternoon to talk about the criticism. It wasn't even criticism. What I said yesterday is the latest gigantic peer-reviewed study from the American Academy of Pediatrics found that there are, in this study, they looked at school districts with nearly 100,000 staff and students who were back in school. And they found zero instances of children passing the coronavirus to adults during in-person instruction. Let me give you that number again. Zero instances of it. There were a handful of kid-to-kid transmissions, but they didn't get sick. They just got it. And there were some adult-to-adult transmissions, but they believe that that generally happened in break rooms when teachers took off their mask and were hanging out with each other. But the fact is that if the kids are not giving it to adults, then the teachers are much safer in a classroom than they would be at their grocery store or Walmart or Costco. Much safer if they limit adult to adult contact. If they stay socially distant, keep their masks on when they're around adults, as infrequent as that is for a teacher at the school building, then they're not going to get the coronavirus. So when I hear the teacher saying, I'm putting my family at risk, when I hear the union president saying they're laying their lives on the line, there is data that I have in front of me that contradicts that. And so let's get back to the First Amendment now. It's my job to not just accept what government tells us, and public school teachers, they're government employees. That's who, above all else, I'm supposed to be a watchdog of government. And if they are saying something, and if it keeps getting repeated, and if nobody balances it out, then we don't have an honest discussion of very important issues, issues that are killing, literally killing children. And so I talked about all this yesterday. I talked about the study. And I also said that there is absolutely no question that it is easier for teachers to teach from home than in building. And I don't think anybody with a straight face could tell me that it's tougher. And that doesn't mean it's easy. I said it's easier when you don't have to deal with disciplinary problems and tardies and kids who are, you know, potentially violent. I mean, all they're talking about is K through two. But, you know, like herding cats, it's easier to sit at home and do a lesson plan than to try to corral 20 kids in a classroom or whatever the per class count is. So anyway, yesterday I'm doing the show, I'm talking about all of this, and you know, people say, what do you know about teachers? My wife works in a public high school. My wife talks to many public school teachers every single day. My wife's a college and career counselor. But everybody knows it's easier teaching from home. And when there's no public health reason, it's my contention that we got to get the teachers back in the classroom because that's what we're paying them for. And just because it's easier from home doesn't mean that's how it should be. When children are dying and they're getting anxiety and they're overdosing on drugs and going to shrinks. So something interesting happened as I was doing the show yesterday. I assume this was a Bellevue school teacher. In this cancel culture, I've dealt with this before, but an effort was underway to get me fired because I presented a study from Duke in North Carolina and peer-reviewed and put out by the American Academy of Pediatrics. And teachers want me fired for that. But let me read to you. This is the post that went out on Facebook. I was so disappointed to be listening to Cairo Radio today and hear Dori Monson speak so negatively about teachers. Okay, first of all, absolutely not true. I think great teachers are a teacher changed my life. Fantastic teachers have had incredible impact on my daughter's lives. My wife's parents were both public school teachers. My wife works in a public high school. My wife was president of our school district's foundation to raise money tirelessly to enhance in-school programs. I coached in the public high schools for 10 years. So please don't give me this nonsense. But you can say anything you want about me on Facebook. And people who don't listen to the radio show, they can just look at that and go, "Ooh, yeah, let's fire this guy." Hear Dori Monson speak so negatively about teachers. He was discussing Bellevue's return to school plan today and that the teachers were on strike until they get vaccinated. All true. But with a false sense of authority, he gave his expert opinion, stating the teachers don't want to go back to work, that they prefer to do minimal work from home, that it's easier than having to teach in school, and that they just want to stay home and teach. They put all of those in quotation marks. I don't know if that's exactly what I said, but I wouldn't challenge any of that. I very well may have, because I'll defend all of them as true. It is easier to teach from home. Nobody could ever convince me otherwise. Back to the Facebook post. I personally don't like him or listen to him, but this comment was so offensive that I had to call the program director at the radio station and report it. Report? What, am I going to get suspended? In-school suspension? I had to report it. Did I violate some zero-tolerance policy at your school? Here is the contact info at the station in case anyone feels led to reach out about this. They were very appreciative to hear my concerns. And then they give the name and phone number and email address of our program director, who got many, 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 many messages. And they wanted me immediately fired because I listed an American Academy of Pediatrics study and said that I don't believe what is being said by government employees about why teachers cannot go back to school. But you know what really bothered me about this? I go through this every once in a while. Nicole, are you there? You with me here, Nicole?
Yes, I'm here, of course.
Okay, good. Thank goodness. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think you've told me. Whenever, and hopefully I'm going to do this gig for another 10 years, at least, maybe 30. Who knows?
I hope so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But whenever I go, for whatever reason I go, you've said that you're probably not going to produce talk radio anymore. Is that right?
I don't think so. I don't know what else I'm going to do, but I just can't imagine a better combo. We're such a good team, and I just can't picture it getting better. I think I'll just move on.
Whatever you choose to do, you'll be fantastic at it. But Bellevue teachers who are trying desperately to get me fired for presenting some facts and some truth and some opinions that I'm certain are truthful. I mean, you're not just getting me fired. You're getting Nicole fired.
You're making me start over.
Yeah. You're driving Nicole back to square one. The girl's just got she's gotten a mortgage for the first time in her life. And you want to drive her out of work because I'm presenting facts and truth on the radio. So here's my question. Why do the Bellevue teachers want to get Nicole Thompson fired? What has she done to deserve your wrath like this? Anyway, look, it's a free world. You can do whatever you want. You can reach out to our management. You can try to get me fired. I mean, that's freedom. I truly believe that. I don't lead boycotts I've never been a part of. I can't think of a time I've called for someone to be fired because I disagree with them. Maybe it's happened. I can't think of any examples of that. And look, I understand this is what cancel culture is all about, and people can't handle any dissenting opinions and dissenting views. I get it. But I also know that it's my job, first and foremost, to be a watchdog of government. And when government employees are telling us stuff about health risks that are affecting our children, and when children and parents are struggling to the extent they are, physically, emotionally, mentally, educationally, I don't appreciate this constant stream of we're going to die if we go back in the classroom. There is simply no evidence to back that up. And then have you heard, Nicole, have we gotten any resolution? Because I'll just tell people, we're scheduled to talk with the president of the Bellevue Teachers Union, and we're going to record it right before the show. As we were starting the interview, she said her phone was crapping out. And so now we said, well, we can do it live here at 12:30. Do we know if we're going to get her on here?
No. Even her people are having a hard time contacting her now. So I'm not sure where she is that her phone doesn't work. But it's very bizarre.
Well, she and I had a lovely 2-minute conversation before I started recording the interview, and it was working flawlessly for that. I mean, I'm not doubting that, but anyway, I would love to talk with
her. Hopefully by the end
of the show. Yeah. And I know she was very pleasant to Nicole when Nicole contacted her to schedule the interview. But look, go ahead. Try to get me fired. I understand it. But Bellevue teachers, you have to be able to hear. If you're going to teach children, you can't just hear one side of things and push that out as truth. And that's what I'm hearing right now. And I have some facts and some data that directly contradicts what you're presenting as truth in a debate that is unbelievably important to families throughout our region. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all of this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. All right, I got a lot of stuff to get to. First, I do have for you a cancel culture update.
This is your cancel culture update.
Okay, you're familiar, of course, with Dolly Parton's hit song, 9 to 5.
Stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life.
Okay, so that was her big hit. On the Super Bowl Sunday, they did an updated version. They flipped 9 to 5 upside down and went 5 to 9, meaning you might maybe have to work 16 hours a day to get it done these days. And what they said is, if you are an entrepreneur, and it was really, you know, kind of to honor, especially in an era where so many businesses have been destroyed and entrepreneurship has been turned upside down by the economic shutdown. And so the Super Bowl commercial was meant to celebrate the grit and determination of entrepreneurship. People who are working from 5 to 9 until their dreams come true. So here's a little bit of the Super Bowl now.
Working 5 to 9, you've got passion and a vision, because it's hustling time, a whole new way to make a living. Gonna change your life to something that gives it meaning.
What a great message. Yeah, if you're an entrepreneur, you do have to put in 16-hour days a lot of times. And if you outwork your competition, you can achieve great things still in America. Well, now this is America 2021, and a number of news outlets are severely criticizing Dolly Parton. They said that this was a tone-deaf misstep. Somebody named Kim Kelly with NBC News wrote, "Rather than paying homage to the spirit of the original song, which made no bones about the exploitative nature of the daily grind, the commercial for Squarespace," that's the advertiser, "features a tinny ode to the side hustle. Its office workers are portrayed as being overjoyed to continue working after hours. Their side hustles are painted as freeing, fun, and fulfilling. And the song itself encourages them to be your own boss, climb your own ladder." And that is considered to be a horrible thing in America in 2021. Parton's silvery voice is being used to promote the false virtues of working overtime when so many gig economy workers are barely scraping by. "The gig economy is a wretched alternative to a stable paycheck and proper benefits." And it goes on and on and on. And this is the kind of mentality, whoever this person for NBC News is, they'll probably be unemployed before you know it, if that's their work attitude. Secondly, all these people who've been marching in the streets of Seattle for the last year, smashing windows and demanding that government confiscate other people's stuff and give it to them, that's a loser mentality. I'll tell you a quick story. Many, many years ago, a very large local high school honored me by asking me to be their graduation speaker. It was down at the Seattle Center Arena when that still existed. And I'm not going to mention the high school because I don't know why I wouldn't. It was Woodinville High School. And they asked me to be the graduation speaker. And I thought, well, given this opportunity, I'm going to, and this was 15, 20 years ago, before the virtues of hard work became even more detestable by so many people in America. But I said that there are, once you get into the workplace, there are a couple kinds of people in the working world. I said there are people who leave right at quitting time. And I said those people tend to be the losers in life's game. And then there are people who stay an extra half hour, hour, 2 hours, and put in extra time and look for opportunities to get OT and save that money so that they can, you know, invest down the road. I said those people tend to be the winners. But my message was the people who work the hardest tend to succeed the most. And there were some parents who were, you know, who loved the message. And then there were some parents who hated my message. They were very upset that I equated success in life to outworking your competition. But that was my message. That, you know, whether you like it or not, we are all measured not in a vacuum, but we are measured against those with whom we compete. And you don't have to be the most talented person in the world. If you are the hardest working, if you're willing to outwork your competition, generally great things follow. Now, that's not always the case. There are people who have worked very, very hard and found themselves out of work, especially in the last year with the economy being turned upside down. And I suppose there are some lazy people who get ahead because they're, I don't know why, because they're gorgeous. I wouldn't know anything about that. But for the most part, hard work usually equates with success. And it helps you overcome the challenging times. And believe me, I've had a lot of challenging times. But yeah, there were some parents who were hissing that I dared say that at their kids' graduation ceremony. I didn't want to be like everybody else. Have you noticed that about me over the years? I don't want to sound like everybody else. I don't want to give the same pablum-filled graduation speech. I like talking about, you know, my perception of reality. And my perception of reality is the harder you work, usually the better you do, or at least you increase the chances of success. So anyway, all of these news sites are very upset with Dolly Parton because she dared turn 9 to 5 upside down. And it wasn't just that one NBC woman. At Slate.com, their editor, Hillary Hughes, said the ad diminished one of the most potent and beloved messages while dressing it up as a tribute. Newsweek had an analysis calling the commercial disturbing and full of propaganda that reflects an insane ideology. And a New York Times editor who covers women and culture said that 5 to 9 ignores the present reality of American women who now deal with ongoing job losses, economic challenges, and just plain fatigue. So after this commercial on the Super Bowl,
working 5 to 9, you've got passion and a vision, because it's hustling time, a whole new way to make a living.
So after this Super Bowl commercial extolling the virtues of hard work, Dolly Parton, you have been
canceled, darling.
This has been a Cancel Culture Update. Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
And we have lots more still to come here in the Dory Monson Show. As I talk about all the time, if you didn't listen to my radio show, you would have no idea what my politics or worldviews are, because I don't talk about that stuff off the air. I have this great forum where I can vent for 3 hours. I don't have any need to the other 21 hours of the day. And there's just a lot of other things in human interactions that, I want to talk about people's families and about, things that ultimately are more consequential. There are some people who just can't let it go. If this seems to be a particular problem now on what's considered the mainstream left, and I'll give you an example. If this LA Times columnist, if she is an example of the modern day leftist, talk about hateful people. So she wrote a column this week. She and her family, they have a vacation place. She calls it a COVID getaway, and it's up in the mountains. There was a lot of snow at her vacation home. And so the next door neighbors at her vacation place, they have a tractor, and they cleared the driveway for this LA Times columnist. And they did a wonderful job clearing the driveway so her family could access their cabin. Here's what she wrote in the LA Times. Oh, heck no. The Trumpites next door to our pandemic getaway, who are devoted to the ex-president, just plowed our driveway without being asked and did a great job. How am I going to resist demands for unity in the face of this act of niceness? So she wants to resist unity, but she's going to find it hard because her neighbors are so nice. And then she writes, of course, on some level, I realize I owe them thanks. And man, it really looks like the guy backdragged the driveway like a pro. But how much thanks? And then she goes on to compare her neighbors who plowed her driveway for her and her family to terrorists. She said, I'm not making this up. This isn't the kind of thing you couldn't contemplate that there are people this desperately devoid of humanity. But she writes in the LA Times, Hezbollah, the Shiite Islamist political party in Lebanon, also gives things away for free. The favors Hezbollah does for people in the cities probably don't involve snowplows. But like other mafias, Hezbollah tends to its own, the Shiites sick, elderly, and hungry. They also demand devotion to their brutal us versus them anti-Sunni cause. Some of us are family. The rest are infidels. So that's what goes through the mind of an LA Times columnist when very nice people do a very nice thing for her. What a sad, hateful prison she's created for herself. And, man, say a prayer for her kids. You don't have much of a chance of a kid if you have hateful parents like that. Fast 15 is coming up next.